You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Back with you on a Monday. I never left, but Mark Dukes left for the weekend. He's back. I've been here the whole time, at least over the last hour or so. Welcome in, Gym Class. Spencer in for Scott Unesh. Once again, here on this Monday, March 6th, kicking off Championship Week, one of the great sports weeks on the calendar. We'll talk about that. Look at the Big Ten and Big 12 men's basketball brackets. Also got a pretty big women's game from yesterday to talk about. Iowa women's basketball team again, second year in a row, Big Ten tournament champions after just dominating Ohio State yesterday. We'll get to that. Talk about the merits of them as a one seed potentially in the NCAA tournament. They are not in the current bracketology a one seed, but we'll get your thoughts about whether they should be or not coming up in the next hour or so. Pretty good weekend for Iowa State hoops as well, and ticket punched for the Drake Bulldogs. They are going to the state tournament. The NCAA tournament. They're not going to the state tournament. That'd be just the worst mismatch of all time. If you put Drake up against North Lynn or Cedar Rapids Kennedy, I don't think we would get the result that fans wanted. But Drake is headed to the NCAA tournament. We'll get some reaction to that. Big weekend for wrestling, too. And, boy, there was a lot going on in the sports world today, and we'll hope to get to all of it in the next 54 minutes or so here on the Gym Class, brought to you by DuPaco Community Credit Union here on KGYM. Mark Dukes, how are you? How was the weekend?
I'm good. It was a very busy weekend. Good afternoon to you and everyone out there, Isaac. And I think, like a lot of people, my remote got a workout.
For sure.
Especially yesterday afternoon, if not Saturday as well. But so much ground to cover, and we're going to cover it all here, maybe not in the order you might anticipate, but we just put everything in a grab bag.
Just
pull a couple
it up,
things out.
Yeah, spin the wheel of what do we talk about today, and or what do we start with today at least, and kind of come up with the order of operations here on the program. Like I said, we'll get to tournament brackets for the Big Ten and Big 12 coming up. We got a couple bids on the line tonight too. On the men's side of things, we could touch on that later on in the show today. But let's start. I started Spencer on sports with, when it comes to basketball topics at least, the women's tournament game from yesterday, the big win over Ohio State. And we'll get to that here coming up in just a bit. But a game I was in attendance for in Iowa City, put on the basketball fan mode instead of the sports talk radio host mode yesterday, and it was an entertaining game yesterday. We'll say that much. But when it comes to a senior day performance, when it comes to so much being on the line for Iowa, going from where they were in the standings early in the season, we've talked about that. Pardon me, to potentially getting the number two seed in the Big Ten tournament. Talk about a lackluster performance at a bad time for one, especially in that second half. Iowa goes down to Nebraska and are swept by the Huskers for the first time since the Huskers joined the Big Ten. Your thoughts on that loss yesterday, Mark?
Well, I think it came down to one team shooting better than the other.
Yeah.
Nebraska shot nearly 60% from the field, and Iowa 36.5%. And it's not like Iowa didn't have open looks. It just didn't make many, and especially from three-point range. Patrick McCaffrey was good in that regard, but we talk about Tony Perkins. I really think he's the catalyst of this team. Wasn't much of a factor. 6 points, 4 assists. We've seen him go off for 20, 22, 24, and when he does that, I think it makes the whole team better. Not to pin everything on Tony Perkins, but I guess hats off to Fred Hoiberg and his team. He's missing two starters, sometimes three for part of the season, and people tweeting and talking about how, like, Nebraska's a YMCA team.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly. Hardly. They finished two games behind Iowa in the Big Ten. And as far as Iowa goes, it dips to a 5 seed in the Big Ten tournament. We'll get to that. take the season as a whole. 11-9 in the Big Ten. I think he would have taken that at the beginning of the season. I think the problem is that what was out there for Iowa, there was so much more out there for Iowa that fans wanted. And, you know, Michigan State, Indiana, those were two terrific games. And then I wouldn't say it was a dud against Nebraska, but, you know, it just wasn't a good shooting performance, and it added up to a loss.
Yeah, Nebraska stayed consistent throughout the game. Sometimes you see, you know, a team be really hot for a half and then dip back in the second half. They miss a few shots, and that kind of snowballs. Take Nebraska, for example. What you thought you might see yesterday is, okay, they were hot for the first half. Maybe in the second half they come out and miss a couple shots. Iowa turns those into baskets, and then you start to see them pull away. But any time Iowa made any semblance of a run yesterday, they would get up maybe 5 points, 6 points, whatever it was. Nebraska was right there. They were making shots. They were getting to the lane and out-physicaling, in some cases, the Iowa defense. And really from beyond the arc, in general, 14 of 26 from three. 53.8% from three. For the game itself, they were 57% from the floor in the first half, 60% in the second half. And you compare that to what Iowa shot in the second half, 29% from the floor, 11 of 37 on field goals, went scoreless from the field in the final 6 minutes. When your opponent is shooting 60%, right, that's not going to help you at all.
Not a good recipe. You know, I thought Iowa did a good job on Derek Walker, the big guy inside, who did have 12 points or 12 rebounds. And Tominaga, the guard, he can shoot it and he can play. Had a great first half, didn't do much in the second half.
Yeah.
But it was the ancillary guys that, you know.
Jamarcus Lawrence.
Yeah.
15 points, 5 of 8 from 3.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be disrespectful to Nebraska fans or their team because they played well. I thought I was really impressed with them, and I was impressed with seeing them all season, especially this latter half and the games that they won. Jamarcus Lawrence, Sam Griesel is one of their key guys. Yeah, 16 points. C.J. Wilcher had 12, but yeah, Tominaga, you mentioned, he'd been lighting it up. I mean, he'd be 20, 25 a night. They call him the Japanese Steph Curry. He wears number 30 in honor of Steph Curry. And that's apparently his nickname. I'm like, what, really? Like, and he's been a catalyst for that team. And Iowa did their best to take them out, but Nebraska found the other guys, and they were able to come out with the win, 81-77. And I brought this up here on Spencer on Sports. You look at the stat line, and it just, I'm still trying to figure this out. Like over 24 hours after the final buzzer, you look at some of those key stats you look at, like points off turnovers, second chance points, bench points, and stuff like that. Iowa had 21 points off of turnovers, 31 second chance points to 11 for Nebraska, and their bench outscored Nebraska 31-18. And they lost. It's still mind-boggling, but that's the tale of the tape, and that's just kind of how this season has been for this Iowa basketball team. 68-82, put it on the text line at 319-366-1600. Yesterday was a typical Iowa letdown in a typical letdown spot, and maybe we should have seen that coming, considering how this Iowa team has been this year. It seems like there have been times where they play a really good game and then maybe take a step back. Maybe we should have seen it coming. Someone pointed out earlier, and I saw a bunch of people talking about this on Friday too, the Iowa football team against Nebraska on Black Friday just had to win to get to the Big Ten championship game, and maybe it's Nebraska's thing this year, just kind of ruining a big spot, but who knows?
Yeah, kind of coincidence, but it's very true. Plenty more texts coming in, 27-23. Murray missed 10 threes. How often does that happen?
Yeah.
Not very.
He was off, and he was short on a number of those shots yesterday,
too. Yeah, and Robbie Hummel pointed out on the broadcast, and I don't know if you noticed it being there, but Homo contended that Murray was kind of falling back a shade on his shots.
I could see that.
And not getting his legs into it and jumping straight up, what have you. Homo knows more than I do about it.
Right.
But there was a reason that Murray was off. David, 52-68, outcoached and outplayed yesterday. Simple as that.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's really all you could say in this. And, you know, in the end, it cost him the number two seed. Now, granted, I mean, does that necessarily mean, you know, guaranteed 100% you're going to win the Big Ten tournament and get the automatic bid? No, not necessarily. But you look at the Big Ten tournament and how things play out. If you got that two seed, you avoid number one because the two seed is on the other side of the bracket. And, you know, Purdue and does not match up well with Iowa. Obviously, Iowa would need to win two games to get to a potential matchup with Purdue. But it makes the road that much harder for Iowa as opposed to getting the double bye, getting an extra day off. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it right now too. I'm not saying they're going. I wouldn't predict them or project them to lose on Thursday. But the teams that they could potentially play, Ohio State and Wisconsin, the winner of that opening round game will play the Hawkeyes on Thursday afternoon. Iowa's 1-3 this season versus those teams. Swept by the Badgers, split with Ohio State. The matchup is bad. And getting the 5 as opposed to the 4, the 5 as opposed to the 2, it spells a big difference in what you think this Iowa team can do in Chicago.
You get what you earn, and first-round matchup is not going to be easy. I talked last week about Ohio State. I don't remember who they were playing, but they played really, really well. And I made the comment that that's not a team you want to see in the postseason. And that's a team Iowa could see. And even if it does get past that first round, Tom Izzo awaits Michigan State. Which kind of got a bit of an edge by not playing a 20th Big Ten game.
Yeah.
They didn't make up that Minnesota game that was postponed.
No need to. Didn't mean anything.
I looked at the schedules, and it was almost impossible to wedge in there.
Yeah.
And let's face it, Michigan State probably would have won anyway. 95% chance of winning a home game against Minnesota, but that's neither here nor there, but I think that upper bracket is a tougher path. There is no easy path.
No.
And there won't be. You know, Northwestern and number two, it gets Penn State or Illinois.
Right.
I mean, no bargain there. I think Indiana's got a really good path.
Yeah, I think, boy, I don't want to pencil them too far ahead, but just looking at that bottom half, I like Indiana to get to the championship game. And if they get Indiana-Purdue for a third time, I mean, you know, the old saying, it's tough to beat a team three times in one season. But, I mean, Indiana owned Purdue this year. So if we get a third time, I would put my money, I guess, on the Hoosiers there as the number three seed. 319-366-1600. Iowa, the 5 seed, playing Thursday. Game time about 1:30. The first game of the day on Thursday is the Rutgers-Michigan, the 9-8 matchup. So likely about 1:30. It's 25 to 30 minutes after the first game of the day. So you'll see Iowa about mid-afternoon. So right while we're on the air, we can react to it in real time on Thursday. And then Penn State and Illinois will be the other game, 5:30, a 7:10 matchup there. Maryland is the 6. They get the winner of Nebraska and Minnesota. I said last hour, too, I'm not going to pick Nebraska to win the tournament, but I could see them beating Minnesota, number one. I think they're good enough to do that, but they're going to give Maryland a game. I think they will.
Yeah, with Nebraska, it's all about matchups, and we found out this year that it was a tough matchup for Iowa, losing both games against the Huskers. 70-10 on the text line. I was just really happy that Fran didn't get kicked out of the game on senior night. Or had a stare down with a ref.
Well, Mr. Stare Down himself, Kelly Pfeiffer, was one of the officials yesterday, and people pointing out at the very end of the game, it was Connor. Correct me if I'm wrong. Connor McCaffrey had the drive to the basket. They were down, and offensive foul called on Connor right in front of the Iowa bench. From my vantage point, Carver looked like Kelly was really interested in making that call. He was really eager to make that call. I'm not saying he had. I'm not sitting here saying he purposely cost Iowa the game. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying he made that offensive foul call with a little bit of
pretty emphatic.
That's what it looked from the stands yesterday. So I think he was looking for an opportunity. Not saying he made the call to affect the game. Just saying I think he was.
Sure.
Pleased to get that opportunity.
38-30, it's the exact reason why you don't expect them to do anything in the big tourney. Can't lose those types of games. Iowa can lose to anybody, and some nights can beat just about anybody.
Very true. And when it looks when you look at the latest bracketology, Iowa, if I lost it here, Joe Lunardi still has Iowa, this is from last night, as a 7.
Mm-hmm.
Taking on Pittsburgh in Birmingham with the number two seed Texas, I should say, awaiting them. Maybe he was onto something with Iowa State, by the way, because he now has the Cyclones as a 5 and climbing. Remember on Friday he had them with an up arrow in the 6? We were all like, what's going on? Maybe he was onto something there, but still has Iowa as a 7. I know Jerry Palm dropped Iowa down to a 9 in his bracket, although he still has some flaws in there that don't make any sense, and I saw a lot of people ripping on Jerry's bracket prediction this weekend on the old social media verse. But, it's all dependent on matchups. And considering the loss, you know, will it linger? We saw, and Fran McCaffrey was asked about this after the game. We saw this kind of last year. They go into, it was Illinois, right? They go into Illinois. They lose that game by a small margin, and then they go on a run, and they win the whole thing. Now, different year, different team, obviously, but still some key pieces from that squad are there. So the potential is there. It's just, can they live up to that potential? And considering how they've done against the teams below them in the bracket, the Penn States, the Nebraskas, the Wisconsins, the Ohio States, the Minnesotas, I don't have a lot of confidence in that scenario playing out.
Interesting. Iowa has played the upper division, upper half of the Big Ten, better than it has played the lower half. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Wisconsin,
yeah.
Swept.
0-2.
Nebraska, swept.
1-1.
Yeah.
1-1 versus Ohio State. They're 1-0 versus Minnesota. Only played them once. They're 0-1 versus Penn State. But then they swept Rutgers, Michigan. They swept Illinois. They swept Maryland in the only meeting.
They 6-9 losses to the lower half.
Right.
Yeah.
They split with Michigan State. They swept Indiana ahead of them. They split with Northwestern, and they only played Purdue once.
Mm-hmm.
So they're much better versus the teams around them or above them than they are below them. And is that playing down to the competition? Kind of, yeah.
38-95 on the text line reminded me of the Richmond game last year. I thought they should have went inside more. Can't live or die by the 3 every game.
I was surprised. You mentioned Tony Perkins, 6 points only. And, you know, he's not everything. They win and lose as a team. But 6 points for a guy, like you mentioned, 20-plus in so many big spots this year. I was surprised, I guess, a little bit more at Philip Rabracha on senior night. 10 points, 7 rebounds. I mean, not the performance I expected. I didn't expect, 55 points and a triple-double, just morphing into Caitlin Clark on the court, but I expected more than 10 and 7.
Didn't shoot it well, 5 out of 14. Missed some bunnies at the hoop, and yeah, it's one of those games, and you got to turn the page.
They will turn the page again Thursday about 1:30 will be the tip-off time as the Hawkeyes will play either Wisconsin or Ohio State. The Badgers and Buckeyes are the first game of the whole tournament Wednesday night at 5:30. You can catch everything on BTN moving forward. Boy, I don't want to just bury the Iowa women's game from yesterday, and we won't. We'll give it its due justice, but what a game that was as we switch gears here on the program. Just an incredible run altogether for this Iowa women's team. And culminating in that game yesterday against Ohio State. We were listening to it on the way back from Iowa City. Heard the first few minutes. Okay, we think, you know, we thought it was going to be a tight one in this game with a pretty good Ohio State team. And then next thing you know, we're pulling into the park or the driveway at home, and it was all but over in that second quarter. They outscored Ohio State 35-15. On the way to a 102-75 victory. Just an incredible performance.
Yeah, I think Ohio State was somewhat spent after coming back from 21 down against Indiana.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Iowa played so well. I go back to the Maryland game, and after getting waxed in Maryland, mm-hmm. Iowa comes back and beats Maryland, who I thought might win this tournament. But Iowa played extremely well. Gabby Marshall made everything.
Mm-hmm.
That made a big difference. But and Caitlin Clark doing things only Giannis could hope for and make.
Unlike Giannis last night against the Wizards, she truly got a triple-double.
Yeah, that was kind of funny, wasn't it? Giannis, he's still pretty good. But Clark was phenomenal. I don't know what more I'm more impressed with, her shooting or passing.
17 assists. That's incredible.
A couple of them were what?
The one that? The game was already well in hand. I think it was third quarter, fourth quarter. She had the one. She was right in front of the Iowa bench and like flipped it over her head and found Sonato right there on the left block.
I think it was.
Yeah. On the money, and Sonato put it up and in. I'm like, what? What happened? What's going on? Is that legal in the game of basketball? I don't know. But, the Purdue game, you knew Purdue was going to give them a test on Friday, and they did. And Iowa did enough to get that get the job done there. I thought Saturday's win was huge because Maryland, that could have gone either way. I mean, mm-hmm. Could Maryland blew them out in College Park? Iowa won sizably at Iowa City, so it was kind of a wash between the two regular season meetings, but Iowa showed the toughness to get it done. Gabby Marshall, you mentioned her, was huge. 7 3-pointers in that game on Saturday. McKenna Warnock, 2, 6 for 6 from the charity stripe, especially down the stretch, making a bunch of key free throws in that one. And then just you knew the door was open once Indiana lost. I was really surprised Indiana lost. I think a lot of people were. I think everybody was, frankly, as Ohio State rallied from down 20-plus to win that one. But then I think Iowa really saw the opportunity. And not to discredit Ohio State, because they were a really good team all this year, but Ohio State did not do well against the top of the Big Ten. The Indianas, the Marylands, the one time they played Iowa in Columbus, Iowa went in there and handled them pretty good. And I think once that matchup was decided, I think Iowa, you know, they saw the opportunity and they seized it, and they did not let it slip away.
Consequently, today, Iowa women are number 2 in the country in the Associated Press Poll.
That's incredible.
Highest ranking since 1994, mm-hmm. one notch ahead of Indiana, and pretty heady stuff. Although, as you mentioned earlier, Charlie Cream still has Iowa on the 2 line.
Yep.
The last I looked.
Yes, still there. Yep.
So we'll see how the tournament comes down, but this is really heady stuff. And 81-86 on the text line. If Caitlin didn't make enough of a statement yesterday, I don't know what else she can do. Player of the year, change my mind. No thanks, 81-86.
No.
Not going to change your mind.
I don't know how she can. For all the Angel Reese's of the world, and I don't think Reese was even on the finalist list, so that's a moot point. But the Aaliyah Boston, who's a fantastic player, just because you're the best player on the number one team in the country, it's not the best player on the number one team in the country award. It is the National Player of the Year, and I don't know. You cannot give it to anybody else.
No argument from me.
End of discussion. That's boring. That's boring in sports talk radio land. But it really, it's the long and short of it. And the Hawkeyes getting the well deserved number 2 ranking ahead of Indiana. I mentioned this earlier, and you brought it up. Charlie Cream has Iowa as a 2 seed in the region, one of the Seattle regions, with Virginia Tech as the 1. Interesting to point out on the women's rankings, the AP poll, and I don't know if that factors in at all in the selection committee or whatever, but Iowa's two spots ahead of Virginia Tech, who has that final one seed, according to Charlie Cream. So if the AP poll means anything, I think you gotta put Iowa up there.
Well, really sure. Important, Iowa gets to host two games in Iowa City.
Yes, yep.
To reach the Sweet 16, so... Big benefit, no guarantee.
Right.
But big benefit.
We saw that last year. No guarantee with Creighton coming in, and you know, I don't think we'll see that matchup again. The latest projection has Iowa hosting St. Louis, the Billikens from St. Louis, who won their conference tournament yesterday. South Florida and Alabama, that is the current projected pod coming to Iowa City. Full disclosure, Iowa State, Charlie Cream has them as a 6 heading to Columbus to face the aforementioned Ohio State Buckeyes. So that is the latest there when it comes to women's bracketology. We got plenty more to get to on the program today. I want to talk a little bit about Drake and their tournament run. I know we got some wrestling to get to. We got plenty of other stuff to talk about here on the show. We'll get to that coming up here in just a few moments. But before we do that, let's bring folks an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update.
Yeah, I know you touched on this on your show earlier, but Iowa baseball off to a 9-1 start and ranked number 23 in the country by Division I baseball after sweeping 3 games this past weekend. First time the Hawkeyes are 9-1 since 2015. Iowa plays Mike Cohawks tomorrow. Oh,
there you go.
Weather permitting. And then we'll be at Texas Tech for 3.
That's
next weekend.
That's big, yeah.
Yeah. New Orleans Saints and Derek Carr, quarterback, have apparently agreed on a 4-year, $150 million contract. Nola Nation, very happy.
Cajun Troy, your thoughts on Derek Carr? Welcome. 319-366-1600.
Also in the NFL, the league has reinstated Jaguars wide receiver Calvin Ridley. Talk about the weapons Trevor Lawrence has next year. Wow. Boys State Tournament going on right now. Heavy Linn County presence at Wells Fargo Arena. Right now, North Linn representing and at last look was leading Madrid 50-39. And if that holds, North Linn will move into the semifinals in Class 1A. Tomorrow, Marion and Xavier in action at 5:30 and 7:15, respectively. Scott Unesh on the call for CRM Live Sports. On Wednesday, Kennedy will be in action at 2 o'clock in Class 4A. Actually, that 1A game has gone final. North Linn hung on for a 72-63 win over Madrid.
All right. Congratulations to the Lynx onto the semifinals now in 1A. So very good. Good luck to the rest of the teams at state in Des Moines this week. More basketball, some wrestling, maybe even some football talk coming up in the next half hour of the show. Gym Class brought to you by DePaco Community Credit Union is right here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have a mix of sun and clouds today with temperatures in the mid to upper 40s. It will be turning breezy as we head through the rest of the day and into tonight. We'll have the clouds sticking around tonight with temperatures dropping down to a low around 30. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with temperatures in the low 40s. For the rest of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we are going to have temperatures in the 30s and the chance for some wintry precipitation. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
There was a time when you knew the name of the grocer, the banker, and the tailor. Simpler days when a rotary telephone was the most advanced communication device anyone had. That's the world Hertine and Stocker Jewelers opened its doors to back in the 1940s. A bustling downtown with friends stopping in to browse, buy, or just say hello. And no matter how busy a shop might be, you were always warmly greeted and well taken care of. Willa Dickens began working with customers in those distant days, and he raised his boys Terry and Tim to understand that it was the way you made people feel that genuinely made a difference. You'll sense it when you step into Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. Even though you'll be surrounded by today's most beautiful jewelry, you'll recognize the lost art of service that has been carefully maintained. Come see what's in those famous windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. And be sure to stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good, solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit MFAM.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Dutch Boy Paint gives every room of your home a fresh new look. With over 1,300 colors to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect look for your interior. A gallon of DuraClean is $21.97 after 11% off. For a paint that's washable, scrubbable, and stain-resistant, choose Forever Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's $29.98 per gallon after 11% off. Good through March 12th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at
You could win $500 in the I'm On Communications KGYM Bracket Challenge. Get details now at kgymradio.com. I'm On Communications, your local choice for internet, TV, and phone.
Back here at 3:36 on the Gym Class, Spencer in for Scott. Mark Dukes joining me as well here from the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids as we bring you sports talk for the next 25 minutes or so, leading you up till 4 o'clock, the Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way between 4 and 6. Continuing our hoops discussion here today, talked a lot about Iowa and the men's loss to Nebraska, what's ahead for them, the 5 seed of the Big Ten tournament, and then Iowa women awaiting selection Sunday as they will look to see where they're seated. Right now a 2 seed in bracketology, but I think there is a strong case for a number one. That is for sure. Let's continue with hoops. I do want to we want to acknowledge the wrestling this weekend, Mark, because there was some big performances put on both the Big Ten and the Big 12. We'll get to that here before the show is up. Also some news from the Iowa football side that we have to get to today as well. But I want to finish up hoops here. Look at the Big 12. We have the tournament brackets for both the men and the women. And on the men's side, the Big 12, I did not have Iowa State winning that game. So I will say it again. I was wrong. They go into Baylor and they win going away, 73-58. That was a big win to... Because we had talked on Friday, and we had talked all last week, okay, they're staring down the barrel of potentially 5 losses in a row going into conference tournament play. Who knows what happens in Kansas City, but likely a 6th loss. They stem that tide after a tumultuous week, not only with the games they lost, but, of course, the whole Caleb Grill situation, his dismissal from the team. Certainly an impressive win going into the number 7 team in the country and beating him pretty soundly.
Super impressive, and the reward is you get to play Baylor again.
A Baylor team that you just beat on their home floor, no, they're not going to be motivated at all, are they?
No, that's a 4-5 matchup, is it not?
Yes.
In the Big 12, and as man Cedar Rapids pointed out on the text sign, heard you talking about Iowa playing in competition, up to competition in the conference. Iowa State did the same. Six of their 9 losses came to teams below them. Strange season.
Yeah, certainly is. Of course, they lost to Oklahoma. They split with Oklahoma, got swept by West Virginia. Oklahoma State, they got swept by them. They lost, split with Texas Tech. Of course, they would have swept them had they held on and not lost in overtime in that game on January 30th, but their wins wins in conference. Baylor, twice over TCU. They beat Texas at home. They beat Kansas at home. So you wonder, people saying, why is Iowa State safely in despite the slide they've been on? Because they have a lot of good wins. this season. Not sure how that Baylor game is going to play out, but they see Baylor again. Baylor's the 4, Iowa State's the 5. That is 11:30 Central Time tip-off on Thursday. So getting things started early on Thursday for the Cyclones and the Baylor Bears. Kansas, the 1 seed in the Big 12, no surprise there. They play right after Iowa State. They will play the winner of West Virginia and Texas Tech. Texas Tech suspending their head coach this weekend for some comments that were not smart of him to make. We'll leave it at that. So West Virginia and Texas Tech will be the opening game on Wednesday. Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, the Bedlam basketball series for a third time. That will be the second game on Wednesday. But Texas the 2, K-State the 3, TCU is the 6. And we'll see K-State play TCU. That TCU team, the 6. I know they didn't play well in their finale this weekend, but that's a dangerous number 6. I think any of these teams, really, maybe aside from Texas Tech.
I think West Virginia, too. Yeah. I mean, I think Kansas is your favorite, but this is going to be another really fun tournament, much like the Big Ten. And, you know, good luck, you know, filling out your bracket this year. Come next Sunday or Monday, and we'll have the KGYM Bracket Challenge coming up once the field is announced, brought to you by Imon Communications. And we'll give you details about that as it nears.
We've got the early info, just kind of the initial setup of what you can expect from the Bracket Challenge on our website at KGYMradio.com. But it is brought to you by our friends at Imon Communications. Another shot at $500 in this year's Bracket Challenge. You can't enter it now because we don't know the field, but once we know the field, as Mark mentioned, we will get you all that information that you need, so you have a shot at $500 courtesy of our friends from Imon Communications. So look for that. Initial info, of course, at KGYMradio.com. Go ahead.
Traffic update on the text line 6712. Traffic is backed up on the southbound 380 at Quaker due to a broken down car on the right side of the road. That's the S curve.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. So keep your eyes up for that. Thank you to the texter for that information, for the being the eyes and ears out there here on this Monday afternoon. On the women's side, after we talked about the Iowa State men, the Iowa State women with a win, wrapping up their regular season with a victory over Texas Tech, 76-52. Big day for Ashley Jones, 22 points, 10 rebounds, and the Cyclones are the 3 seed in the Big 12 women's basketball tournament. They will take on Baylor. So it's the Iowa State Baylor Palooza this week down in Kansas City. That is a Friday night game, 7:30 Central Time. So you got to wait a little ways for that. Could be some overlap, it sounds like, with the men's team if they were to get to the semifinals, if they were to beat Baylor in advance to the semifinals. That would be a 6 o'clock game on Friday, so a little bit of overlap there. Potentially, if Iowa State men do win on Thursday. So we'll keep you up to date on that scheduling. But Cyclones and Baylor on the women's side as well.
Yeah, and a really nice senior day for Ashley Jones. And she just had a phenomenal career. I don't want to say overshadowed by what Caitlin Clark did. Both Iowa high school players. But each had, I mean, they're on similar watch lists. Jones just with a tremendous career, and you hope she can go far in the NCAA tournament. First of all, have success in the Big 12.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's coming up later on this week. And we'd be remiss if we did not mention, back to the men's side, what a game by Drake. My goodness, that was an incredible performance. I didn't see any of it because I was at the Iowa game yesterday in Iowa City. But basically turning the tables on Bradley. Bradley blew him out in Peoria last weekend for the regular season championship. Drake said, "Hey, we're coming in. We're getting this win," and that's what they did.
They really did. And kind of going back and forth between the Iowa women and the Drake Bradley game, I don't know which was more impressive. And I'm not going to choose, but Drake was super impressive and really dominated from start to finish. You love to see that. because that's a one-bid league, unfortunately. I think Bradley won 24, 25 games, but it's not going to get in. And should Drake had lost that game, they would have been sent packing probably to the NIT with 25 or 26 losses, or wins. So good for Drake. Tucker DeVries, a heck of a player. Darnell Brody inside was tremendous. And Roman Penn, among others. Drake's 12 seed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I want to be a 5.
No, you do not.
Playing that team.
Yeah, I can. That sound you hear is people typing or penciling Drake in as a 12-over-5 upset. Joe Lunardi, for what it's worth, has Drake as a 12 indeed, playing the number 5 seed Miami. That would be quite a matchup. Miami's a talented group in Orlando, so maybe a little partisan crowd there with Drake in Miami. But Drake's an experienced team. They're going to be a popular upset pick, much like they were in 2008, although they were a higher seed in 08, weren't they? They were the 5 in 08 with the Keno Davis team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drake's older than a handful of NBA teams.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. It's true. Drake's going to be a popular pick. Joe Lunardi has Drake playing Miami and then a potential matchup with Indiana in the second round. So a little more Iowa teams to get into Mike Woodson's head, maybe, if that matchup were to come to fruition there. I mentioned there are some bids they've already been clinched, but there are several bids that have already been clinched. The bids that are handed out, the Northeast Conference, Fairleigh Dickinson. This is kind of the interesting one. They get in because, well, the team that is opposite them is not eligible. Merrimack. I think they have a pretty good hockey team.
What did Merrimack do?
They are moving from D2 to D1, so they are not eligible for the NCAA tournament. Kind of like Bellarmine was last year out of the Atlantic Sun. So Fairleigh Dickinson, they won in the semifinals over St. Francis of Pennsylvania, and that qualified them for the NCAA tournament because Merrimack is ineligible to play in the tourney this year. So we'll see Fairleigh Dickinson in likely Dayton because they're 19-14, probably going to be 20-14 if they end up winning here. But Southeast Missouri State, that was a heck of a game Saturday night. I was going back and forth between the Bucks and the Sixers on ABC, and the SEMO Tennessee Tech game. Wild finish to that one, but SEMO ended up winning in overtime to get to the tournament for just the second time in school history. UNC Asheville, a winner as well. They beat the Fighting Camels of Campbell yesterday to clinch the bid from the Big South. And then Kennesaw State, first time they'll be in the tournament as well. Two bids handed out tonight, the Sun Belt, Louisiana Lafayette. Playing South Alabama. I guess they're just called Louisiana now, no longer Louisiana Lafayette. And the Southern Conference, the Mocs of Chattanooga, taking on Furman. So those are the two bids handed out tonight. Number of semifinal and quarterfinal games tonight as well.
Madness.
It is. Championship week. It is, as they say, fun. fun here for you on this Monday of Championship Week here for 2023. Let's do this. Let's take a quick time out. We got a couple more things we want to get to here today. Just to get you the latest headlines from the sports world, and then we'll get you out of here and get you off to the Todd Bromwell Camp Show. Take a 60-second break. Back after this, it's the Gym Class on KGYM.
When you buy your own health insurance, you deserve a doctor who's your biggest champion and coverage you can be confident in. And with new Wellmark health insurance plans featuring Unity Point Health, that's what you can expect. These plans help you build a relationship with your Unity Point Health primary care providers and network partners, starting with free preventive and virtual care, plus low copays for primary care with a doctor who always has your back. Connect with an agent to help you enroll at wellmark.com/UPH.
March doesn't have a lock on all the madness.
We've got some too.
And we're giving away Mini Coopers at each Wild Rose location in Clinton, Emmitsburg, and Jefferson. It's Mini Madness.
Now through March 31st.
Earn points for entries when you play with your club wild card at Wild Rose Casino and Hotel, and you could score your own Mini Cooper.
See Club Wild for details.
Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Clinton.
You'd rather be here.
Must be 21 or older. If you or someone you know needs gambling treatment, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
And just like that, we're back on the Gym Class at 3:49. Spencer in for Scott here on this Monday afternoon. Mark Duke's joining me as well. Todd Brommel Camp Show on the way between 4 and 6. Plenty of discussion today, of course, about Iowa basketball. But there is some Iowa football news, Mark, and maybe not necessarily in a positive light, but this has been a story for quite some time. The lawsuit filed by a group of former players alleging racially discriminatory culture at the University of Iowa that was oversaw. They say Kirk Ferentz oversaw this this culture. Well, a settlement agreement was agreed to, reached earlier today. $4.175 million of the settlement. The Iowa Athletics Department is going to pay out $2.175 million, and there was a vote earlier today, just before 2 o'clock. The State Appeals Board voted on this, voted 2-1 in favor of agreeing to the settlement. Now, there was notoriety here because State Auditor Rob Sand said in a memo, a statement to his other board members that he was not going to vote for this. He was not going to vote to approve it because of the history of legal matters and costing significant amounts of money that the University of Iowa Athletic Department has had, and said, I will not vote to approve this. I will not support taxpayers funding this settlement unless Gary Barta is no longer employed at the university and forfeits any severance or similar pay. Now, that, you know, the chances, you know, I'm not a legal expert, I don't pretend to be, chances of that happening were probably very, very slim, regardless of how the vote turned out. In the end, the board voted 2-1. The board, by the way, comprised of State Treasurer Roby Smith, along with Craig Paulson, who is another member of the board, the director of the department, along with State Auditor Rob Sand. They voted to approve the settlement. And Kirk Ferentz put out a statement saying, you know, we're not necessarily pleased that the settlement was agreed to, because it sounded like at least the coaches that were part of this, that were the targets of this lawsuit, thought they had a good chance of winning in court and having this dismissed without it being brought back up, dismissed with prejudice, to put it another way. So just, you know, this is just, I'm not comfortable talking about politics. I'm going to be 100% real with all of you out there. It's not my favorite subject in the world. It's not necessarily 100% a political story, but with obviously, you know, people in Des Moines catching the attention of this and having to approve it and vote on it, you bring politics into this. Interesting to hear that comment coming from the state auditor about how he feels that Gary Barta should now no longer be part of the athletics department at the University of Iowa. But the settlement was agreed to. The state is on the hook for about $2 million of it. The Iowa Athletic Department will pay about $2.175 million. We did have this audio courtesy of Radio Iowa. This is State Treasurer Roby Smith, his comments made during this meeting earlier today in Des Moines.
I do encourage the university to re-examine the relationship with Gary Barta, Brian Ferentz, and others named in recent lawsuits. Iowans expect better. Iowans deserve better.
Again, State Treasurer Roby Smith there from that meeting in Des Moines, which led to the settlement being approved by a 2-1 vote. And that money, again, will be split between the athletic department and the state of Iowa.
The thing about it is, estimates, $1.8 million of the $4 million is going to lawyer fees. And there's another $30,000 to $40,000 in ancillary costs, meaning that the players involved in the lawsuit will be due about $184,000 apiece. Mm-hmm. And Kirk said he was greatly disappointed because they had no knowledge of the negotiations between the plaintiff's attorneys and the Iowa Attorney General. That's what it came down to. And, you know, opinions vary on the thing. And, I mean, the players recanted under oath many of their comments. that they originally brought. But yet here we are, and I think the state made it go away because they knew it was going to cost more money going forward. Yeah. They're going to be out even more money. But be that as it may, and that's where we sit.
That was one of the big stories of the day. Certainly do want to bring you that information, but that settlement was approved, despite the comments made by the state auditor about not wanting to approve it in lieu of employment by Gary Barta. Closing on a positive note here today, and we'll talk. We have Mark Ironside coming up this week, don't we? Wednesday, for sure. We got Mark on the air, so we'll talk with him definitely at length about a great weekend in wrestling. But when it comes to Iowa, two first place winners at the Big Tens this weekend. Iowa State had another great performance this weekend as well from David Carr. I know that they had two champions as well at the Big 12s, but overall, I mean, we're getting to the Nationals coming up here pretty quick, but that was fun to watch. You mentioned remote getting a workout this weekend. Basketball to wrestling to this to that, the other thing. It was great to see Spencer Lee especially go out on top.
Very true. And Iowa, I thought, we'll get Mark's opinion on Wednesday, but I thought Iowa had a good tournament.
Yeah.
134.5 points would have won last year's tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But Penn State was too strong, especially in the upper weights. I mean, Iowa, 8 of its 10 wrestlers wrestled 2 or above their seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's pretty good tourney. Sometimes you just get beat.
Yeah. Yeah. Penn State is still atop at 147 on the team standings. Iowa with 134.5. Nebraska third at 104.5. Spencer Lee and Real Woods with first place finishes. Patrick Kennedy at 165. Finished second. Max Murin and Tony Cassiope third. Nelson Brands, Jacob Warner fifth. Teske, Siebricht, and Assad all finishing seventh in the Big Tens. And then Iowa State, what more can you say about David Carr and his performance? That was one of the highlight matches. And then got a big win over O'Toole again. They were hyping that up big time. And that's a match to watch. That's some fun stuff right there for sure. 319-366-1600 as we start to wrap up the show here today. We have so much to talk about on the show.
We have a week off from wrestling.
Yeah, we do.
There's two weeks until the national tournament in Tulsa, but so much conference action going on this week. Iowa State will get involved midweek, and if you like hoops, you don't even have to like hoops.
Right.
Just enjoy the madness.
Absolutely. We've got some games this week, too. Westwood One Sports has national radio calls of some of the championship games. So we'll have those starting tomorrow night. We got two tomorrow night. I believe two on Wednesday night as well as we bring you some championship action. ESPN Radio has coverage, I believe, of the ACC tournament as well. So there is a lot to get to, and we'll have it all for you here on KGYM along with the Iowa State coverage this week. So check out our website, kgymradio.com. As we get further and further into this championship week. I believe Rob Gray joining us tomorrow from the Gazette to talk a little Cyclones. We'll get his thoughts on the Big 12 tournament and some other headlines from around the Cyclones side of things. We'll be back with you tomorrow here on KGYM with the Gym Class. Mark, have a great night.
Will do. Talk to you tomorrow.
We'll be back tomorrow at 3. Todd Brommelkamp show on the way. He's got John Walters joining the show just after 4:30 here in the gym.